Blog Talk Radio. As of the 1st of October 2019, in South Australia, a new law was passed that allows a public servant to enter, remain, inspect, or use reasonable force to break into any premise, place, vehicle or vessel. This public servant can remove items from the premises to be used as evidence in future, and a warrant is not required if there is a suspicion, just a suspicion, that a vulnerable adult is at risk of abuse. Matters will then be directed to a court or tribunal that is not bound by the rules of evidence, can determine matters as it thinks fit, and can reach an outcome, just, on the balance of probabilities. Not beyond reasonable doubt. Victims often end up a ward of state. The public guardian and public trustee are often placed as the ultimate decision maker and take over all affairs. These laws are expected to be rolled out in other states next year. Are you scared yet?
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this, of course, is the TS Radio Network. Our show tonight is In the Mix, and co-hosting with me is Coz Whitten-Scape. Coz, how you doing?
I'm good. I just got home from a long day at work, and I'm so excited to be hanging out with everyone.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got a special guest coming on with us here shortly, Austin Gibson, and she's been on with us, and it's been, I think, last year before I got to meet her when we were out at the summit in D.C., and very, very nice lady. And we're going to be just talking with her about what has transpired since we last spoke with her. Right before we get to that, Coz, I wanted to give everybody a heads up. Here in Minnesota, we've raised so much hell that there is a flurry of bills coming out regarding guardianship and conservatorship. One bill, 3319, I believe it is, even calls for a bill of particulars. Now, that what this is a listing out of every piece of evidence you may have. Okay, if you file, you have to list every wrongdoing, every piece of supporting documentation, everything. This is a bill of particulars. Problem is, a bill of particulars was abolished in the United States pretty much back in the late 1960s, and Minnesota abolished bill of particulars in particular in 1974. So they're trying to reinsert this into the law. Another bill came out, and it showed two statutes that were not hyperlinked. And when I copied and pasted them into Minnesota Reviser, it says, does not exist. Two paragraphs down in the bill, they are hyperlinked. And when you click them, it goes to the Minnesota statutes. So what they're doing, even if these bills don't pass, which they will, but even if they didn't, these statutes have already been brought live and inserted into the statutes. So they're there one way or the other. But these bills all read, cause every one of them reads that you, isolation must be the last resort, and you must have, you know, good reason, and doesn't say you have to have evidence, got to have good reason, and you can't do this, and blah, blah, blah. And then it ends that paragraph, every paragraph that has a prohibition on something with, unless otherwise ordered by a probate judge. Which, of course, just wipes out everything that went before it. The bills are obviously written by the stakeholders, those nasty little people who intend to profit. Mm-hmm. And this has the earmarks of the Bar Association, these fiduciary corporations all over it. They wrote these bills. Our legislators, I have figured out, don't do squat other than sit around and collect a check for the most part. They have also been holding hearings where you can go in and speak, supposedly. But the deal is you only get 3 to 5 minutes, and they keep jockeying the time of these hearings around. So if you thought you were, you know, they were going to be reading a bill and you could comment on it at 10 o'clock in the morning without very much notice at all, they'll change it till 7 o'clock at night, or they'll change it to almost midnight. And they keep moving the time around, and that's to limit attendance, because if I have figured out one thing about policymakers, they don't give a crap what we have to say. They don't care. Oh, I have listened to more crap in the last couple of weeks from legislators trying to convince me that this is a good deal. We had one staffer tell us that probate does far more than just reading wills and doing conservator and guardianship. My question was, what else are they? They're not mandated to do anything else. What is it they're doing? I didn't get an answer to that. What I did get was, and they save the state millions of dollars. No, they don't. They make the state millions of dollars through those block grants. So don't tell me they save the state millions of dollars. Another thing that was brought up, you might have remembered last year, the Health and Human Services Director was allowed to resign to keep all of his benefits when it was discovered that 26,000 nursing home complaints had gone uninvestigated.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and they got a new director in, and within 2 months, he claimed that they had cleaned up 17,000 of these. Now, even on a good day, this isn't possible, except for one little thing. We have an abatement clause in the statute here, and that says if you bring charges, a family member or anybody brings charges on behalf of a resident of a nursing home who's being abused or neglected, they only have to play beat the clock. They can keep filing motion and motion, delay, 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 till that person conveniently expires. And under the abatement clause, once they do, you have no case. It's all over because the person you were filing on behalf of died. That's how they cleaned up 17,000. That's how many people died in nursing homes in the time covered for these 26,000 complaints.
It makes you wonder if they sent in some of their, you know, nursing serial killers and said, let's hurry this up.
Yeah, you're no kidding. That's one of the things that, you know, we've noted many, many times in dealing with these cases is that as soon as that estate is cleaned out, these people just serendipitously drop over dead. And or they get shoved into hospice and they die rather quickly. And that was another thing we found out on one of the hospice shows. We had Dr. Jane Orient on, and I had asked her how they got away with starving and dehydrating people. And she said, it's no longer a crime to do that. She said, because they reclassified food and water not as a human right and not as a human necessity, but as medical treatment. So when they call for futility of care, because you're terminal, supposedly, they pull all medical treatment, including food and water.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you know, you don't need food and water to survive. That's just in case you're sick, you might need that. Yeah. So I'm telling you, I've just been in a fit all week long over this stuff. These bills are such an insult. And I think they think that nobody will read them. Or if they do, they won't understand them. And but I wrote a long letter back detailing what was wrong with these bills and these lynch situations that are included in them, where you're hung. And see, and this is what I've told everybody, that we're fighting this and we keep pointing out these gross errors in this system. And they go back and they tighten up the loopholes, cover their butts. And that's exactly what is going on in these bills. It is the codifying into law what these guardians and these attorneys and all these other people were doing that was illegal, but they were getting away with it. But if you could prove it, you could charge them. Now they've closed it. They codified it into law. And, it just makes me so mad. But anyway, all that said, you're bringing on with us tonight a special guest, Austin Gibson. And Austin, welcome to the show.
It's nice to be back, and it's nice to hear your voice again.
Oh, well, thanks. And we've been, I see we're still dealing with the hot holes. I know that is a source of humor for a lot of people, that name, but I love a good take on words, and that is one. Now, didn't that Judge Stanley, didn't he retire?
Well, no, quite frankly, his name is still on the door of the judges. There are, what, 10 judges? And believe it or not, well, even better, they have it written in magic marker, much like, well, never mind, I won't go there. Much like, I know, I tried not to, but I just slipped back. It is literally written on magic marker above the doorbell. His name is still there. And when I saw it, I should have been surprised, but nothing surprises me about Montgomery County anymore.
Wow.
Nothing. Now he has two guys that work with him or for him.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Jiminy Christmas. All right. So.
Well, and then he's working for that law firm, Prior Mannion Law Firm, and he's going to be doing arbitration. That's his new thing, and mediation. And it's the same law firm that contests everyone's wills and represents, I know the one represented Deb Clock, who's the guardian, that was Harvey's guardian. I mean, that's who he's now working for, their law firm.
Oh, my God. These people,
and working for in private. I have three friends who could never get away with that. Ever.
Yeah. Wow.
Because it's a conflict of interest, no matter how you do it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, his law firm contested Harvey's will. You know, I mean, that's what I got to go through. It's just a joke. We all knew how it was going to end. Really, you know. Okay. Can't take it with you, people, but, you know, it's not over yet. You are right, Austin. It's not. It's just, you know,
what
they're doing.
Remember, is all the evil stuff you do comes back on you. I don't care if you believe in God, karma, or smoke signals. It comes back. So, you know, and I've been saying this, and I refuse to put it any other way. When I talk to people in Montgomery County, I flatly say, you know, you murdered my mother. Anything else you want me to tell you? Oh, no, your mother died. No, you murdered my mother. Anything else you need me to say? Because they want to change the wording, but that's the wording. And they did it for money. And we need to call the dog a dog. You know, it's not going to change with everybody trying to put these pretty words in it. Frankly, this is cold-blooded murder. And if anybody else did it out on the street, they would be in jail. And and they're going to jail. They're going to jail. It doesn't even matter to me how long it takes. They're going to jail.
Yep.
Or even better, they're going to die the same death that they gave.
Yeah, I wish that
really
for them.
Yes, so do I, frankly.
You brought up something very important, words, the meaning of words. I learned this from John LeCron, to pay attention to words, especially when it comes to law, because they constantly, through the Supreme Court, change the meanings. But it's like originally when bills used to come out, it said you may do this or that or something. You could if you wanted to, but you didn't have to. But if you were ordered to through the law, it said you shall do this. Well, the Supreme Court, because this just kind of rubbed some people the wrong way, they were being forced to do things that they just didn't necessarily want to do, came out and redefined it and said shall meant, well, you could if you wanted to, but it was kind of like may and you didn't have to. And so now the bills must say must. That's a direct command, must, in order to, like in these guardianship bills, you must go to jail if you isolate an elderly person. Not you may go to jail if, you know, we decide to do it, we get mad at you, but, you know, you must go to jail. People confuse probate tribunals with courts of law. A probate tribunal is running outside of the law. It's running on statute and code. It avoids the Constitution. That's why they created it. That's how they get away with stripping your rights, stealing your property, and all the other crap they do. If you were in a court of law, they couldn't do this. That person sitting on the bench is not a judge. That person sitting on the bench is a hearing examiner, administerial clerk, or a magistrate in some cases, which are appointed by the governor. They are not judges, and they are not required to have any legal training because they don't deal with law. And but learn, watch words, very commonly used words, are constantly reinterpreted so that you think it means one thing when actually they're saying something else entirely. So if you have any questions, there's any ambivalence about anything, look that word up, not only in the regular English dictionary, but look it up in a law dictionary too and see what the meaning is. But go ahead, Austin. So what's transpired since we last talked with you?
Okay. I think my mother still doesn't have her stone because they're not in jail, but tune in, it's coming soon. We were fighting to save my house, and finally they got the house for a moment on September the 3rd. And there's always a good point. What we found out, we finally, from the beginning, we knew there was a circle to this. We could never find out who called the guardians in from the beginning, because that was always the issue. How did my mother get vetted for this?
Yes.
Now I find out that, and let me be careful, because a lawyer friend of mine told me to be very careful when I say this. This is what I know but can't prove right now, that RMS Service, Reverse Mortgage Solutions, actually called Adult Protective Services.
Uh-huh.
And this is their way of getting that money back. They got a good chunk of the reverse mortgage back, and they got the house. And somewhere on there, every cent my mother ever made, saved, and all the money that they got when they imprisoned her. So they made a good chunk of change off of her. As if that wasn't enough, then they tried to steal all of the furniture by putting it in storage, by putting in the most expensive storage in Willow Grove. I called ABC. ABC helped them see the light. So after all of that, they stole, or let's change the wording again, there are three rooms of furniture that we cannot find, and no one seems to be able to, because they didn't think, they actually thought they were going to steal all the furniture. They thought they were going to get everything, and that's why they're scrambling now to try to either get my other furniture back and or something. But they're scrambling like it's not funny, because they know that ABC is involved, NBC is involved. You know, I think it's like all of us. When you've had enough, that's when you start calling for outside power. And it's interesting because we have all called ABC. We've all called CBS and NBC and so many other TV stations. They didn't want to get involved when it came to the Guardian. They did get involved, however, when it came to this company stealing my furniture. And the name of the company, which technically should have nothing to do with guardianship, is Asset Guardian Management. Now, what are the odds of that?
Yeah,
from Reverse
really.
Reverse Mortgage Solutions, they hired a company called Asset Guardian Management. No, Guardianship Management, excuse me.
Oh.
I thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've talked on this show many times, Austin, about the fact I've always in my heart feel like these people are actually serial killers. They've just found a new way to practice the trade. They are serial killers. And, you know, I don't know how they live with themselves other than the fact that they have to be pure sociopaths. And what scares me, and I kind of alluded to it in the promo, is these people could be standing right next to you and you don't know what a monster they are. They look like everyday people. You don't know that this is this predator standing there who could destroy your life and the life of everybody you know just on a whim.
Well, I have to agree with you. When I first met Zabowski and Doshi, I thought they were at least an answer to a problem. I did not know that they would end up killing my mother. It never even dawned on me that, my mother was an ordinary American citizen living her ordinary American life. It never dawned on me that someone could walk in our house and just take her out of her house.
Yeah.
And for all of you listening that think it cannot happen to you or your loved one, you are wrong. It can
happen.
Yes, ma'am.
I have so many people like, oh, well, I have all my paperwork done. I've got it covered.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't.
Isn't
because the judge can overrule all that.
Why can't you go back and sue that law firm or that attorney that sold you those estate plans because they represented themselves as an expert and what they should have known as an expert, even as just a general legal practitioner, was that in a probate court, they discard those legal instruments without a moment's notice and hand all of that over to that predator standing there. Those legal documents
Absolutely.
You have, I don't care if it's a trust, I don't care if it's a bank account, I don't care if it's a hedge fund, I don't care what it is, it all is broken into by this bunch of thieves, facilitated by that hearing examiner who says, oh, you can have all of this. You can have all of this.
I don't think people believe this, but yes,
yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I run into people say, oh, I've got, we went to an attorney, we've got everything in trust, and we did this, and we did, yeah, you're just a sitting duck. All you did was database yourself. Now this attorney, and believe me,
and
he's talking to other attorneys, will turn all this information over about what you own, where it's at, who has access to it, how much is it worth, and you could, like you said, at a moment's notice, Austin, that door can open up in your whole life. Can be turned upside down for no other reason than you have assets and somebody else wants them. But you know, on the other side of this, even if you don't own them and even if you don't have assets, just on Social Security alone in the local economy, you can be worth a fortune. Whoa, who's making all that noise? Quit it.
It was me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
but you can be worth a fortune locally, just in nursing home costs, doctor's costs, the guardian paid by the state accessing your Social Security and making themselves a payee on it. There is money to be made, and like we got that one predator running up there in Detroit, 1,700 wards, and they don't have assets. They have like Social Security, railroad pension funds, VA, or maybe a combination of those things. She's taking it all. Now, figure that out on 1,700 people, the kind of money this woman is dragging in. So, this is what I'm saying. Even if you don't have assets, you're just a medical ATM. And, I remember in my mother, with my own mother, she was in that nursing home in Missouri. I went to Social Security, the hotline, and reported. I was sitting with a bill in my hand showing the same four set of x-rays, the same blood test four times on the same day. And I said, this is fraud. They couldn't possibly have done this. She'd have dropped over dead. They said, well, what do you want us to do? I said, well, you're the hotline. I'm supposed to be able to. Well, I don't know what you expect us to do.
Do your job. Isn't that a novel concept?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They all need to go to jail. Every last bloody one of them.
Yep.
Because
it
they
just,
always. It's a society full of lazy people who hear the problem, know there's a problem. And it is their job, the IGs, Inspector Generals of OPM. OPM is, other people's money, bad joke. Office of Personnel Management. Any government employee, if they're retired, they go through OPM to get paid for the health insurance, everything else. The Inspector General, once he finds out that any monies were diverted from any retiree and it didn't go to their comfort and care, is supposed to start an examination with the FBI, et cetera, et cetera. I am still waiting. I'm like, how many years do you want to wait until my mother, until she turns to dust before you examine this? Because we start calling them back in 2013. Well, don't tell anybody. It's 2020, and they still haven't done their job.
No. No, Austin, we've had people some years ago that went to the FBI, like out in Colorado, in California, that literally got chased out of the building by FBI agents screaming at them, get out of here and don't come back again, trying to report this stuff to them. Yeah, they won't do squat.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When we went to the FBI, I mean, this was back in the day of, like, you mail a jump drive. And they gave us a P.O. box. We mailed the jump drive. And then we ended up having – so each case – this is how it went down for us. So each case has its own email. And so we used to just send stuff in the email. And they told us, your case is open until something would bounce back. So we've sent all kinds of, you know, I don't think we've sent anything in the last few years. Nothing ever bounced back to us. But we used to laugh, oh, the great abyss. And you just would send another document to this FBI email. But, you know, I find it so interesting because people who, like, you know, the other people, like, I'm going to go to the FBI about this. And I'm like, do you not really realize, like, you don't just, like, go to the FBI. You're going to have this email. You're going to have, you know, your special PO box. And then no one's going to care.
No,
you know,
no,
you don't just make a phone call and they're going to jump.
Girls, hold on here a second. We've got a caller on and we're going to take this call real quick. And hang on.
Okay.
Hold on here. Let me get this line up. Area code 303. You're live and on the air.
Hi, it's Luann Fleming.
Hi, Luann.
Hi, Luann.
Hi, Luann. Gosh, thank everybody. I want to thank all you guys for sending me, you know, all those warm wishes when my mother passed away. I wanted to get that out first.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Austin reached out to me personally, and Marty, and I mean, there's so many of you guys that, you know, caused every one of you. I mean, I couldn't even tell you how happy I felt, you know, that, gosh, I have other people that are on my side here. But I also wanted
there
to talk to you also about the FBI. They are snail-paced if they do anything. And I have a case out in Colorado where they have been working on a case for 4 years. The man passed away, and FBI did nothing still. And they have enough evidence to put these people away. But
they are not
doing their jobs. They aren't. And I called them out on it even. I called them out 3 times, the FBI.
Hello.
I went to their offices. Yeah, we went to the offices 3 times and said, why are you guys not doing anything? Well, we have to have all this information. I said, here it is. They still do not do it. So if anybody thinks they're going to go to the FBI, forget it. It's not happening.
Yeah.
The only thing that does work to get the exposure is news media.
Yes.
You know, that's the big key in the news articles with the news media. We're starting to see some action out here in Colorado finally, but it's taken tons of family members and tons of everybody to start making this happen. But, you know, like you guys are exactly right on about the trust and the wills.
Yeah.
And those things aren't worth a damn. They're not.
No.
And
nope.
And I've had ours all taken from us, all our property, everything stolen from us. So I can sit there and relate to everything you ladies are saying. You guys are right on. Absolutely right on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just this whole thing. It's like here in Minnesota, Lou. Like I opened the show with about all these bills coming. We've raised so much hell that now, see, they're coming out and they're trying to close the gaps. They're trying to codify into law all this criminality, which is what they're exactly doing. And the legislature isn't going to be of any benefit to us at all.
No.
Like you say, the FBI, they're not going to do squat. The police, they work right along with APS and the Guardians. It's just, I don't know, but see, we between us all, we have raised enough of a stink. They can't pretend it's an isolated incident. Well, they'd never heard of anything like that before. Why? Oh, I never heard of such a thing. You know, and all this crap they go through. I know one of the legislators I spoke to, he says, well, I had no idea this was going on. And I said, have you been in a coma? And he said, what? Yeah. I said, this stuff, I know you people watch social networking. I know you watch my page. Mm-hmm. You sure as hell did know it was going on. And I said, there are thousands of people out there screaming about this. This is your response.
Yeah.
We're picking up somebody talking in the background with a big manly voice.
Yeah. I mean, all four of us on this call right now are from four different states. We're not all from the same county, and we're all saying this happened.
Yeah.
So anyone listening should realize none of us live in the same state.
Right.
That's a really good point. Because people think it's so isolated, and it's just one county and just one city, and it's not so pervasive, but it is pervasive. It's insidious would be a good word, because if we're seeing this, we didn't even know each other before, what, 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
Now we're all connected and interconnected, and
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And I really didn't realize that, Marty. I really didn't realize that, ladies, the other day until my mother passed away, and I had phone calls, emails, messages from all over the country. I mean, all over, from Australia, all kinds of people reaching out to me, and a lot of them said, well, I've been listening to your radio show, and I thought I was alone for 11 years. And I'm like, wow, these people are in the dark for 11 years?
Yes.
Not
well,
you know, they didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, and you know that every one of them was told that, you know, this is the way we do things. And if they did try to complain anywhere, they heard this, well, it must be an isolated. There must be something you're not telling us. Well, you must have done something wrong, or they wouldn't have done this. Oh, please. We have these gangs of predators operating through these probate tribunals. They are depriving people of their constitutional rights, stripping them of all their rights, of their identity, of all their assets. They're doing this across the country, and you didn't know this was happening. The shows on hospice that we do, massive show, huge show.
And you know what's really scary nowadays, Marty, is that nowadays, if you go to a bank and you pull out a couple $1,000, $10,000, a couple of those, the bank will call APS on these elderly people.
Oh, you're kidding.
We've got like four or five families out here where the APS was called in because one man did a $30,000 withdrawal and gave it to his caretaker to pay for some remodeling, which the caretaker did. APS was told he's being isolated with that story called The Perfect Crime in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
They moved him out to Michigan.
Oh, my
God.
We
don't know where he is. Yeah, he's completely isolated and moved that man out. And that was from someone being called from a bank. A bank representative called APS and said, I think something's going on with this account. Nothing. They proved nothing was going on with the account, and the man was still put into guardianship.
Oh,
well,
wow.
You know, you just brought something up there. One of the bills that came out up here in this last week said, in fact, two of them do, say that the guardian, under certain circumstances, can isolate, and they can choose the location where the person will live, even if it's in another state. Now, what rational reason, logical, legal reason could you have for housing someone in another state, away from their family, everybody they know? You can't come up with any plausible excuse for this other than these are predators.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep them far away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Make it too far for the family to travel to see if they'll even disclose the location. Now, and this is something I brought up in speaking to all these jackasses. What viable reason can you come up with? Give me one valid reason you would isolate anyone.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the people coming in, they might upset them. I said, do you know why they upset them? No. Well, because these people want to go home. They've been terrorized. They've been kidnapped, snatched out of their homes, away from everybody and everything they know. They're elderly people. This is psychological torture. And when they see someone in their family, it's save me, take me home.
Yes.
That's
right.
What they're talking about.
And you know, Marty, you know, like my mother was put under guardianship. And I fought. My sister and I got my mom out of guardianship, and we have my mom for 8 years, even though our trust and all that was still stolen from these people. But you know what? I don't know how I could have handled it without my mom, us being with our mom during her passing, because she was so horrified. Can you imagine how it is with these people being isolated? That is my mission from now on. For the rest of my life, I will be on that mission to end this, you know?
Well, and the other thing they do is they when they get the person isolated like that and they're terrorized, and what they'll do, and the nursing home staff will participate, and the guardian, whenever they show up, participates in this. And what they do is they tell that elderly person who's terrified, you see nobody's coming to see you, don't you? You see nobody's here but us. You better do what we tell you, because if you don't, we're the only ones that care about you. You see none of your family is here, but they don't tell them, we won't let your family come see you. You know, they want to come see. They're fighting with us, but we're not going to let them see you. And they terrorize them. It's called torture-based bonding. And a lot of times what happens with these people is that they suffer from what's called the Stockholm Syndrome. They start identifying with their captors out of fear. Out of fear. And the longer they're separated from the people they know and love, the worse this becomes. This is so disgusting. You know, I've looked at these bills coming out federally. They're BS, every one of them. They're do-nothing bills. That one that Collins came out with, 571, I think it was. And, and we need to suggest to the states that they enact more statutes. No, we need to get back to the law. That's what we need to do. We need to get back to the law. Screw you and your statutes. But it's just... Is that your husband, Austin?
Yeah, I was going to say, please forgive me. My puppies are losing their mind. Hold it. I'm gonna put you guys on mute. They're just having a ball.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah. Those are our friends.
But, yeah.
My puppy will start barking around.
Yeah,
Marty. Well, yes, Marty, what about that phone call that we got? Marty and I got a phone call coming out of Puerto Rico. And they were telling us that they're starting to do some laws where they are taking them out of.
Yes.
Do you remember that? I can't remember.
Yes.
It's like they sent us, the guy sent us that stuff, those links.
Yes.
And I mean, we're just starting to dig into it, but there's like something pretty, it sounds like Puerto Rico is pretty corrupt, and now they're getting in the game, and they can guardianize people in the other states.
Germany has been taking its elderly people for about the last 6 years and shipping them out to Southeast Asia. Now the family isn't notified till after they're supposedly gone. I don't think they're shipping them anywhere, personally. The family can't know exactly where they are. They cannot visit or communicate. Merkel said she did this, started doing this, because the elderly were costing the economy and the rest of the public too much money. And they could do far better, save money, by shipping them down there. Gee, I wonder how that's working out. But this is what they're doing, and we're seeing the same thing in the legislation that's coming out across the states, including here in Minnesota. They can relocate them to another state if they want to. This is getting terrifying. It has gone beyond just your regular everyday kidnapping and has become something else entirely. And, of course, when a person is in a nursing home, they are forced to take vaccinations. We know that 80% of the people suffering from Alzheimer's have a history of vaccines. We don't vaccinate in this house. I'm crazy enough just as I am. But it just, and they can, on admission, it's just like at the hospital. When you sign that admission form, you read that thing first. They always have the back of the monitor to you. And they always say, just a standard form saying you're allowing us to treat you. No, you print it off and let me read it. Well, it's just a standard. Well, then there's no problem. You got a printer sitting right there. And you look for the word biologics, because biologics means vaccines, experimental blood work, or any other therapy or medications they decide they want to foist on you, whether you need it or not. So you cross that word out and you put your initials there. The other thing you do where it says signature, a signature is a contract signage, okay? It means you are agreeing to the contract that's in that admission statement. You cross that word out and put autograph. And that means no contract. No contract. And the other thing you do is they have an ink pad sitting right there for the little stamper. Put your thumb on it. Put your thumbprint right next to your signature, your autograph. That is an actual legal notary. And so they have been duly notified. And then underneath that, what I write is no vaccines, no fluoroquinolones, no narcotics. This right down the line under any circumstances whatsoever for any reason. And they get highly peeved, but, you know, it's just you have to protect yourself. And that's it. You know, this is a dangerous time to be going in the hospital if you're over the age of 50. You could never see home again. Just for simply by age, you can be medically kidnapped, guardianized by the hospital, have all kinds of crap done to you. Isn't it Virginia? Isn't it Virginia? And I think Puerto Rico, too, is trying to, it was in that first email that fella sent us, that they're trying to pass a law down there that when you go in the hospital, you lose all rights to make any medical decisions. It's all done by these other people around you. And
yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah.
We have four families, Marty, out here in Colorado there. They're from age from 52 to 57 years old in guardianship for no reason
please.
At all. Yep.
They must have a lot of property.
Yeah, well, they do. They have property. They have estates. Yeah.
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 Yep.
Wow.
And there's
now,
nothing
this
wrong
is just...
with people. I work with them every day. They're very, they're not incompetent. They're not none of that. They're,
right.
They're
smart,
really smart people, too, these people in guardianship. I'm like, you're in guardianship?
Yes. Well, I think we've all run... In 99% of the cases we've all dealt with, the person is perfectly competent, fully full capacity. But see, this is why they switch from the word incompetent. Austin, if you don't stop it, I'm going to drive to where you are and break your phone.
Wait, what did you hear? No, that wasn't me.
Ha-ha. Okay. All right. Never mind. they changed the word from incompetent because incompetency required evidence, medical proof, psychological proof. And they don't even want to bother with that, with the fake psychiatrist diagnosis and all that. They don't even bother with that anymore because too many of them, the psychiatrist had to admit they'd never seen the person. So they went to incapacitated, and that can mean anything. That means you got a severe cold, you stubbed your toe, you know, any number of things. You can't shovel snow.
Oh, interesting.
You can. So they went to incapacitated because it can, like I say, literally mean anything. It can mean something or nothing. And even if a person is incapacitated, why do you need a guardian? What about your caretaking? What about family members who are willing to step in and help? But see, they don't want that because then they can't access those assets. They can't take the house. They can't do any of this stuff. I don't know. And what really angers me is that not only that Minnesota, the legislature knows this, they help facilitate it. They help keep it in play. What is the point? What is the point? Why?
Someone's got to be getting paid off big.
Big, yep.
I think we'll figure it out. You know, when we were talking about the media, isn't there, is it March 11th? There's the Netflix Dirty Money is going to do a guardianship show. Is that on the 11th?
I actually interviewed Philip Roth on our radio show Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And he was interviewed on there a couple times, and he said he's just really he's like a maverick down there in Texas, and they're trying to take away his license as well. But he said what they're doing down there is actually making him famous because they're trying to take away his license. This really good attorney who's sticking up for his own clients. But he says these people don't scare me. He's like one of the very few attorneys I've seen that are not scared of this whole mob.
Well, that's like.
The Netflix movie should be coming out starting on the 11th, maybe the 18th, but there is a whole bunch of series, and they're not sure which ones are going to come out first. So I'll let everybody know when I talk to Phil when they come out.
Yeah.
So are they doing more than one story?
Lisa Belanger is in one episode. I know that. They covered her extensively. Like I say, I was supposed to have gone, but my sister passed away, and I was unable to make the trip. So, but hopefully they'll do a second season on this.
Yeah.
And I think if we show out a good enough on, you know, watching it on Netflix, they'll do another season, hopefully.
Because they can track that. Can't they track that, like how many people are watching? So, well, we interviewed, my sister and I probably spent 500 hours getting, they have the whole Otthole. They have your story, Austin. They have the whole Otthole playbook. We gave it all to them. It took, every victim that we had, we did a summary. We had all the players. I mean, this was so much work. But you know what? I'm not upset that they didn't run the Otthole story. I'm just so excited that they ran a story.
Yes.
And if they would ever run the Otthole story, there's so many of us that would just be on the camera from all walks of life, and we're all going to say the same thing. And I just think that's going to be so powerful.
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
Well, like I say, they can't deny. This is why we're getting media coverage. We, all of us on the phone right now, and several others, many others, have been sounding the alarm on this for years. And this has become so big, and it has become so loud, they can't ignore it anymore. They can't ignore it anymore. And, you know, it's like what we do, and people say, oh, nobody's watching your social media page. Please. I have it from an ABC producer. They watch those things like a hawk to see what is piquing people's interest, where there are movements growing, where there are problems that people are talking about and responding to. Yes, they do watch those pages like a hawk.
And you know what?
And
even someone, Marty, one time someone even posted on Shenanigans, that what are two girls in Wisconsin and Minnesota doing a blog talk about, and how dumb is that?
Yeah.
And look at.
Yeah.
We have like.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Yep. I'm remembering that one.
Shows, it's amazing what the radio shows have accomplished, Marty, between your show and our show. And I tell you what, I get people talking to me all over the country, and it's just kind of amazing because I'm like, who would want to listen to me on a radio? I used to joke saying, I don't know how to do this. I'm going to be a radio show host. I laugh for days. No way,
The thing is, we you know, this isn't what we set out to do. And we all are doing the best we can as amateurs. But we have caused enough rift. Somebody didn't shut their phone off. That they can't ignore us anymore. And you know what I was saying? No, maybe we're not cut out for this, especially, but we did it. We did it. All of us sitting here did it, and we've kept doing it. And you know, if I had a big production company behind me, you know, I'd probably put on a lot better show. But the fact is, I don't. And like you, Luann, I pay for this airtime. You know, I give up my time for this. Because you do the same thing, and Austin, you're out there battling all the time, and we're all working for free. So, you know, you're getting a freebie here. You take it as it is. It's the best we're able to do with what we have to work with. If it's not good enough for you, go see if you can get Fox News or MSNBC to cover it, because I'm telling you, they'll show you the door. So take what you got and appreciate it.
Out here in Colorado, we have the guardianship movie being shown out here. It's going to be huge because we got all kinds of news media coming. They handed out 10 to 20,000 flyers down there in Colorado Springs. Our panel, our faces will be up there as one of the panelists up there. And we have all kinds of other advocates coming out there. Athena Rowe will be there. So this is going to be really good. It's in Colorado Springs, happening the 13th and the 15th. If anybody's in Colorado, you should come down or reach me on Facebook, because it's going to be it's going to be really good, actually. I can't wait.
When are the dates?
It's Colorado Springs in Colorado, and it's going to be March 13th and the 15th. They're about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on each one of those. And they could reach out to me on Facebook, or they could call me if they wanted. Marty knows how to get a hold of me on Facebook, on Messenger. Just reach out to me, and I'll get you all the information that you need to go to those shows. But this is what we have to do to bring awareness. We have to keep bonding together and keep working together, and never shut up. I never shut up. I never shut up. You know.
Nope. Oh, wow. But, there's a. There, like I say, we've raised too much of a ruckus, and we didn't go away. A lot of what has been done over the years, the stalling and the lying to your face and the fake phony bills and all of this, was to wear you out so that you'd think, well, there's no point to this. I just give up and go away. We're not giving up. We're not going away. You're going to fix this. Nobody should have to live in fear in this country of being kidnapped out of their home and robbed of everything that they built their life on. That should not be happening. I don't want to hear this stuff about, oh, we're a Christian nation, please. Can you imagine Christ going out doing this?
Right. You know, hospice was called in the last day of my mother's life. And they said, well, we can give your mother rocks and all. And I stood up and I said, you ain't giving my mother nothing.
There you go.
Because I just talked to this guy from hospice, and he was actually a really good, very cooperative. I'm having a meeting with him and his whole crew out here and next week, actually, to talk about a lot of hospice things that they've been doing. And this company does not drug. This hospice does not drug.
Yes.
You know, they said they could give it to us if we don't pay it. They don't do that here. You know, so
there are
a few left.
That won't get into that. Yeah, but most of them, they're in it for the money. Hospice per bed, $29,732 a month. Now, if the person expires, let's say in the first 10 days, they still get that money and they can lease that bed out again. They can do this numerous times in a month. So one bed is actually can actually be worth a small fortune. But they are, you know, I've been trying to find the stats again on Health and Human Service at the federal level on the number of people on Medicare who passed away last year. I haven't found them yet. But for 2018, 2.3 million people on Medicare died. They're averaging about 2 million a year. But you don't hear anything about it. And at least a third to one half of those died in hospice. You can only speculate how many were prematurely taken out. And this, I think, is the coup de grace on this. You know, we talked earlier about these people being serial killers. I think this is the point at which the guardian actually gets off, is when that person is taken out against their will. When they are starved, dehydrated, drugged, and they die. I think this is... Yeah.
But my mother died naturally. They have it on her, natural death. You know, and I tell you, I cannot tell people enough that hospice, when you come in there, this hospice guy was telling me that he knows some of the bad players in this state. And he says a lot of these bad players, they get $2,500 finder fees for hospice.
Yes.
People.
Yes.
Wow.
Finder fee. It's like a finder fee. You mean they're taking these people and they're saying, here's another person that looks like they're going to die, you know, let's go get them on hospice. And they get $2,500 finder fee.
Yep. And it is one of the most disgusting things. They're still trading on their old brand of Good Samaritan. Some people in it still are. But the majority of them have gone corporate. And with that $11.5 billion infusion of cash, they got to go to change into the Grim Reaper under Obamacare. And now you see these hospitals coming out now with what they call ethics panel. There's nothing ethical about these people. And what the ethics panel does is it decides whether your life is worth extending or should they just get rid of you now. And now we're seeing hospitals taking the position that Sick Children's Hospital up in Toronto was the first one I saw, where they can euthanize a child if they're sick. And now I saw, and I'm trying to think of where it was. I want to say Virginia, because they have a bill out in Virginia that if you go in the hospital, you lose all rights to make any medical decisions. That's all done by the hospital staff. I don't think so. And but they also, it was Missouri, was trying to pass a bill that you could euthanize sick children because it was costing the state so much money for their medical care. When did we get damn down to this? You know, when did we get down to the idea? And people, this is what really bothers me. 9 people out of 10 that you run into, you said, if you said to them, you know, they're euthanizing, they're murdering elderly people because they don't want to take care of them. And they just look at you.
Yep.
Like, yeah, yeah, and? Like, it's okay. It is
not okay. It's not okay.
It is not. You know, and
I think it's one of the most despicable things, Marty. I think it's one of the most horrifying things of all is how little they care for an elderly man. I cry over it all the time because I watch these people in the nursing home with my mother. My mom was really, really trying her best to survive naturally, and she could barely do that. She wasn't speaking at the end. She was in a wheelchair, and these people will come in and tell these other people how to kill these people. It makes me sick to watch it.
Yes.
You know, it's,
well, have you
it's,
seen any
horrifying.
Of those pages on Facebook that where those hospice nurses on Facebook, they had a page, I don't know if they still do, where they were joking about what they did to people. And one of the one time I looked at it, that one lady said, she said, she said, if they give me any trouble, I just say to them, do you want to ride on the van? Ativan. Mm-hmm. And which, of course, Ativan is a known psychological disruptor. It will screw you up in a damn heartbeat. And, it just, I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, people talk about the transfer wealth. Oh, we're transferring. People want to transfer the wealth of the wealthy to the poor, and they don't want to do anything. They don't want to work, and they just want to hand out. They want everything. You need to shut the hell up. You know, the thing is, the greatest transfer of wealth taking place in this country is the disinheriting of families through this probate system. The theft of somebody else's life's work in the billions of dollars.
The theft of my family, I figured it out, is over $3.5 million that they stole from my family. Not only that, but what freaks me out the most is one of the properties that was not given to the court. Guess what sits on it now? A fire station.
I don't know if you told me that it's somebody else, but yes, I think I read it on Facebook. Oh my god,
so they're gonna have an opening of this fire station for all the people who want to come, and you betcha I'm gonna be there. You know,
wow.
You know, and I want to put a plaque of my dad in there saying, hey, this was his property, thank you very much, this was my family's property that was stolen from us.
And that's, well, you know, like Lisa out there, Lisa Belanger out there in Boston, she just got her case against the Bar Board of Overseers moved to federal court. Now, they're probably going to fight it, but she forced it into federal court. And her father, of course, passed away last year. They predicted almost to the day when his estate would be exhausted. Almost $8 million, almost to the day.
Wow.
And then he died. He just died right after that. Now they're trying, now the man's been gone. They're trying to sell his home.
Yeah.
For what? You got everything else. They're trying to sell his home.
But
right.
He's
trying to sell them. Yeah.
Everything that happened in a lot of cases, you know.
Yep. That is their goal. Their goal is to not leave one red cent not flipped over in their pocket. They don't just want the house. They want every single thing down to the dirty carpet in the back room. They want, and I'm, please don't think I'm joking. They want it all. And they will do whatever slimy thing they have to do to get it.
Well, and the other part of this, too,
attention.
Is that, like, when they go in and clean out a house, they won't let the family come in and get any of the family memorabilia or, you know, things like that. These people are so hateful and so greedy that rather than let the family have, like, family pictures and things like that, like, say, memorabilia, they'll throw it in a dumpster. You can't have it. It is one of the most
15 families here, Marty. You're talking about what happened to 15 families out here.
Yep.
Including mine.
Yeah. They destroy everything. Everything. And it's not enough just to destroy that elderly person, But it's like they take great pleasure in knowing the torment they cause the extended family. It's like they just, these people are sick. They shouldn't be running loose in society. I don't care what kind of title you give them or how many credentials they got behind. They are sick. They are a danger to society. And they need to be removed. They need to be guardianized. And they need to be guardianized and put someplace away from the public where they can't hurt people anymore. And, I mean, how do you do this every day knowing the misery you're causing? All because you're greedy and you can get away with it.
And
how do you do
that? Nothing about when you inspire anyway, Mari. These people are taking all this stuff and they're not going to take it with them when they die anyway.
No, but they want it.
They want it.
Yep. And a lot of these bills, too.
Isn't that what a three-year-old says, but I want it? Isn't that exactly what a three-year-old and a two-year-old say? Because I want it.
Yeah.
So
because
what
I want
the concept of how scary, and I keep saying that because people don't get it. They do think that it's something that you did wrong, and that's why a guardian was called in. These people are just downright evil. And just like we're saying to you that someone is tipping off about your family, maybe, that, they look like they have a little bit of money. Well, let's go investigate. Because they're vetting people now to see if you have over a certain amount of money, your bones, your this, your that, if they're going to throw you in, throw you out, and we'll see you when you die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and that's a lot of thing too. In a lot of these states, that guardian who is allowed to make all these decisions, medical, end of life, everything, doesn't even have to see the ward except maybe once every 2 years. How can you possibly make a reasonable decision about anything if you can't even identify the person you have guardianized?
Thank you.
And, you know, it just, holy crap. How sick does this have? And then I think probably the sickest part of this is forcing that targeted victim to pay your fees for targeting them. And it just
you're gonna pay for your murder.
Yes, you're gonna pay to weave the rope to hang you with. And
then you gotta take your own personal money, Marty. You gotta take your own personal assets and fight what used to be yours in the first place.
Yes.
Your inheritance,
and
you know.
But you can't touch your own money. But
you
that guardian can. Yeah, you can't touch
your
own money.
They have one man out here right now.
They
have one man out here right now, Marty.
You.
Yeah, they have one man out here right now where he's getting $260 a month to live off of, and he makes $2,500 a month. They're giving him $260. And he said he can't even go get a haircut because he don't have any money.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The guardian needs her fees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guardian makes about $7,000 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, like I say, it is just one of the sickest things. You know, I wrote an article here a couple years ago, and I said it facetiously, but I actually meant it. We're just a heartbeat away from the town square and the auction block. We're just a heartbeat away from that. Of auctioning people off, which is basically what happens in probate. You are auctioned off to the highest bidder. You are auctioned off. Who was it? I think it was Indiana or Ohio here a few years back was posting pictures of people online that needed a guardian, and they were taking bids. APS was taking bids on who was going to guardianize them. And everybody screamed bloody murder. They pulled that down in a big hurry. But don't think this isn't going on behind the scenes. And you talk about spotters, you know, when you go in the hospital, one of the first things that's done if you're over 50 is an asset search. You don't know it, but they immediately run an asset search on you to find out what you own, how much money you have, what you have sitting in the bank. And I caught them doing this the one time here a couple of years ago. And I said, why are you doing that? Well, we just want to make sure you can pay the bill. I said, I have two insurance cards laying there. I think I'm covered. And, we just need to know. It's none of your damn business. But we got charge nurses who had guardians on speed dial. We got a hot one. We caught them down in Florida here 10 years ago doing that. There's people that drive around in neighborhoods that are populated by older people. They watch for sale signs to go up, or they watch for maybe the lawn isn't mowed or the snow isn't shoveled, whatever it is. And they call in and report that they're, you know, not taking care of things. Something's wrong. You got one. You need to go check this one out. They rifle through property tax files to find out who owns a property, what it's worth, how long they've owned it, and they'll land on you that way. We're seeing that here over a lot of the farmland out here that's been in these families for 100 years or more. And we've got Guardians and Monsanto cruising them. It's just the whole system is set up for predation. It is set up to be predatory, and these people are running wild with the full cooperation of our state and federal government. There is no effort to sell, like, you know, you talked about going to the FBI. There's no help there.
There's none.
Yeah.
None.
Somebody told me FBI actually stood for effing big idiots. And that might be, you know, Federal Bureau of Intimidation. Whatever they used to be, they are not any longer. You know, they used to be the primo law enforcement. But they aren't any longer, and they are not remotely interested in anything that's happening to you. They, again, only get involved, just like your attorney general's office in your state, if the state has suffered injury, and that injury means a monetary loss. Bingo. So unless the state is directly affected monetarily, they're not going to intervene. And what we've found is that none of these state agencies of any level or kind will go against the other one. No matter how bad the law breaking is, no matter how immoral what they're doing is, they won't go against the other one. And I don't know. I know I'm not real popular.
You gals have done a terrific job exposing this. I can't tell you enough how grateful I am that more people are doing this. You know,
yeah.
We can't stop. You know, we can't stop doing it. That's wrong.
Well, I don't think people are going to. It's hitting too many people now. It's hitting too many families. Too many people are stepping forward and speaking out, raising hell. They're contacting the media. Eventually, they're going to have to address this honestly, not just a little story here and there. But they're going to have to do it. And you know the thing is, this could be the expose of the century if one of them would take it on. And you know, this would be the expose of the. But you know what we found, and especially working with the people in Australia and Japan and Germany, is that, and now Puerto Rico, is that they're doing this globally. And it is a culling of the elderly. But I guess they figure before they take us out, they want to get all of our stuff. No sense of kids getting it. And but it, you know, they're doing it globally. We are being culled. You know, I brought this up at the summit. There you go. I brought this up at the summit. The thing we did learn from Hitler was you don't want to go out there shooting people and making a big bloody mess. You do it incrementally. You make it sound soft and fuzzy. But the effect is just the same. The first thing he did was he took out the elderly, the disabled, the infirm, anybody who was sick. That's what he did. He got rid of this. It wasn't the Jewish Holocaust. There were 20 to 23 million people who died in Europe. A million Greeks, 7,000 Poles. The death toll was unimaginable, but everywhere they went, they immediately got rid of the elderly because they were non-producers. They couldn't produce. They couldn't. There was nothing to extract from them, tax money from them, because they didn't work anymore. So they needed to go. And this is what we're seeing here. We are considered non-productive, even though you might have a 50-year work history or more. You don't now. You're not working now, so you just need to go. We can't get anything out of you, and you're starting to cost us money. You're here to get your Social Security that you invested in all those years, but you need to get gone because we already spent your Social Security money.
Yeah.
And you know, I think, what is it? It's up close to $4 trillion now that has been taken out of the Social Security fund since the Johnson administration. They use it like an ATM. They took $760 billion out of it to fund Obamacare. And this while our Congress people in D.C. exempted themselves from it and their families and their friends and their staffs, and we pay for their insurance, 75 cents on the dollar. So if their insurance is $100 a month, which is considerably more than that, we pay $75 of that, and they pay only $25, and they have golden fleece insurance. And we are limited. The older we get, and you move through Obamacare, you hit that 70 mark, there is only 20% of medical care available to you as there is to somebody 25, 30 years old. The older you get, the less medical care is available to you. And your premiums keep going up. And so it's a losing proposition all the way around. But we have to keep hammering this. We have to keep fighting this. Austin, what are you gonna be doing now to wrap your case up?
I cannot do that over the air because my wisdom is never let your right hand know what your left hand is doing.
There you go. Good thinking.
But let it suffice to say that's my house and I'm getting my house back.
Good for you.
So,
yeah.
I don't even care when or what. It's not going to be that long. And in the next couple of weeks, I'll talk to you and everybody else about some plans we have up coming up in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And hopefully we can get everybody for once in the same place at the same time, raising as much hell as we can on social media and everywhere else. Because the goal is, and you know, from the beginning, my hope is that we will stop I, me, and I-ing and work together to make this stop. Because it's not going to do it any other way. It really isn't.
No.
And we can, just like there's a National Day of Prayer, we can have a National Day for Guardianship. Even if only five people showed up at every single courthouse dressed in black or whatever, somebody's going to notice. You know, once it hits social media, it's going to go around in a circle and it's going to come back up in such a way that it will light a torch.
Right.
We are that torch. So
there you go.
Give me a couple of weeks and we will have that information for you all, and prayerfully you can come and participate because it's going to be just a fabulous time.
Good. I think that's a good idea, Austin. And you talked about everybody working together. We've tried that, but we have some people in this whose, let me say, their focus appears to be different than everyone else's. I avoid those people studiously. They're the ones that launch the attacks against me and Kaz and other people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get involved. I never have. I don't respond. It's not worth responding to. And so, you know, you do what you can do. And I work constantly with a large number of people. And everybody is of the same idea, is to keep it low key and under the radar. We've had several instances where things we had planned, meetings and things like that, have been more or less gate crashed. And people there raising hell and doing all sorts of things, which is basically ego leading them. I don't have time for it. I don't need credit for anything. I don't need to be queen. I just want this crap to stop. And I will do whatever I am able to do. And as long as, you know, we can work together as a team, I'm all in.
This is the year where that stops. I mean, I don't care what I have to do. I'm not allowing it in the circle that we all have. We've all decided that this is stopping. So if someone wants to come in and act the fool, then I'm going to sit them down. And I'm going to explain to them very nicely and very quietly, but very sincerely, that what has to happen is larger than them. It's larger than me. It's larger than all of us put together.
Yes.
But it has to happen. And nothing and no one and no one's spirit is going to deflect this from where it has to go.
There you go. I want to talk to you, too, because when we're out in D.C. for the summit, I'm trying to set up a meeting out there with the Committee on Aging, and not their usual sit down so I can collect my paycheck meeting that they have annually. A meeting with them about what needs to be done here, and also call them to task about why they have not intervened. Now, the federal government, the reason the bills that come out from there are you'd be better off getting them on a cardboard tube and putting them in the bathroom. Is because the federal government says the states own conservatorship, guardianship, and they have to decide by themselves. They say that they don't collect any stats on people being guardianized across the country. But if they don't, how does the GAO issue a report every 2 years on guardianship in this country? Now, somebody's lying. Which one of you is it? And it just, you know, all this conflicting stuff. But and then I had people approach me about what's called the probate exception doctrine. What that basically means is it deals with diversity. If you have a case that, like, the family lives, let's say, in Kentucky, and the elderly person lived in Tennessee, that is a diversity issue because you have two different states involved, and sometimes it can be more states. But under that, the probate court will not hear it. But if you read on through, it also gets down to saying that this is the business of the states, and if anything that's in rem, meaning in motion, in the state, is the property and control of the state, and the Supremes won't get involved. They're pretty well useless as tits on a boar anyway. But so they have excused themselves from it, and of course they won't hear anything on family court. There again, it's under the property and control of the state. You see, we are all property. When a bill comes out federally, especially, the first place it goes is to Energy and Commerce Committee. You aren't energy, so you must be in commerce. And this is what people need to understand. We are considered a product, a commodity, to be bought, sold, and traded, and they're doing a damn good job of it. On the one end, they're taking our elderly and robbing them blind, and on the other end, they're taking our kids and farming them out and forcibly adopting them out. I hear all this stuff about who's destroying the American family. Why, it's these gay people are destroying the American. No, they're not. They don't have the power to do that. The only people that have the power to do that are the people in your government, and they're doing a damn fine job. And as long as you keep focusing on gay people or the Muslims or somebody else, you won't pay attention. And but that's the only entity, the only collection of people who has any power to disrupt your life in this way is the government. And it is the government you have to hold liable and responsible. Trying to divert attention to groups of people you don't necessarily agree with for whatever reasons is not going to fix anything. You have to go to the people that are holding the purse strings, and that is government. And that's who's destroying the traditional family. I don't know. We've got about 10 minutes here left. Austin, did you have anything you wanted to add before we go?
No, if it's okay with you, when we finish making the rest of our preparations, I'll come back and talk to you all about it, and we'll give you all the information, and hopefully we can get everyone there.
Okay.
It's going to be able, and in between that, all of you who pray about this. Yeah. All this summer, there are three conferences. All of those conferences are going to change something. It changes more if you can come.
Okay.
Try to make preparations to come.
Okay.
We're there. We're all working together. It is if you are locked in this system and you're just finding out what you're in, come down to the conferences so they can tell, so we can really explain to you what's going on and how we can help you fight this. Because okay. You have to fight it when it starts.
Okay. We have a provision in the Constitution here in the state of Minnesota that allows us to abolish probate. And the only line in it after that is that any of the hearing examiners that are learned in the law may be transferred to courts of law. And I brought this up to the legislators. We have this constitutional provision that says that we can abolish these courts, and we need to do it. We can't do that. And my immediate response, although I didn't say it out loud, was, why, will you miss a payment on your Mercedes? I didn't say that, but I thought it. I'll tell you that.
Probably
but there
true.
Again, when I ask, yeah, when I ask why can't we? Why are you allowing this to happen? It's just silence, absolute silence. When I ask, give me one viable reason anyone should be isolated? One actual verifiable reason anyone should be isolated. I'm met with silence. And that is an admission on its own that there is no verifiable reason. They do it because they can, because our legislators let them get away with it. And it's just sickening. The state of the so-called judicial system in this country we're in the tank. I mean, we just are at the bottom of the tank, the bottom of the toilet. We're just waiting for somebody to flush it. But most of these probate courts run outside of and usually up under the governor. They're an executive creation. They are not a judicial creation. There's a few states, and I think Illinois is one of them, where they've somehow run probate up under the district court. But in most states, they are totally separate. And so it's just like if a probate examiner says, I'm going to hold you in contempt. And you know, you're going to jail, I'm going to hold you for contempt of court. They have no authority to hold you and put you in jail for anything. What they do is they send a request over to a state level judge. It's called spreadable. They send it, who signs this and zips it back over to you. And that's who puts you in jail and holds you for contempt. But that person setting up there, calling themselves a judge is not. There again, go to terminology, a hearing examiner. And a judge of the law are two different things. A judge of the law sits in a court of law. An examiner sits in a tribunal. And keep that in mind. Don't let them get away with calling themselves judge. They are not a judge. They are not a judge. I had that one over my girls that said, I insist you will call me judge, or whatever it was. And I said, well, if we're going to use fictional titles, you can call me your majesty. And it was not, you know, and he just looked at me like, what? I said, you're not a judge. You're a hearing examiner. You're not a judge. Well, it says judge here on this placard. I said, well, obviously that's a misprint. And, I prevailed that day. And don't take that like, you know, I wasn't scared because I was. I was scared to death, and I was having to stand there and remind myself, don't pee, Marty, don't pee yourself, whatever you do, don't pee yourself. And it was difficult. I was having to concentrate really hard because I was scared. And but you know, you get to a certain point of anger, and, well, absolutely. I know I'm that way. And I, you know, it's like the usual barriers to you making a real fool of yourself just kind of melt away, and boom, away you go. But you reach a point where you can't take anymore. And, so, you know, that's just the way it is. But we got about 5 minutes left, girls. What are we going to wrap up with?
I got something fun to wrap up with. I just want to say that Austin and I, we just sometimes have to thank the odd holes. I don't want to say judge odd because we just said he's not a judge. Tribunal odd that, you know, she's just one of my really good friends. We talk on the phone a couple times a week, send each other messages, and just it's just, you know, the assholes have really done something. I mean, they are very evil and awful, but you know what? And I know they gotta hate this, is that because of them, some of us have become really good friends and people who I couldn't imagine not having in my life. And so, you know what? Thank you, assholes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I bet they just hate that, that something good came out of what they did. And we just, you know, but we're still going to get them.
Well, the other part they do, the other favor they do for you, unbeknownst to them, is they show you exactly the person you never want to be. You know, they show you exactly what you never want to become. So they do serve a purpose.
They show you who you are.
Yeah,
yes.
You know what? And that's true. I mean, my sister and I, we were saying, my dad, you know, he was an investigative security exchange commission. He would just get like this righteous anger and just get really pissed off. And, you know, that I was always like really shy and didn't talk a lot, you know. And I didn't know that I had, I didn't know that I had in me what was in there was something in my DNA until it got triggered. And I was just like, oh, hell no. You know, this is not happening. I'm going to have a big mouth. I know you've been I was threatened with libel lawsuits. You know, the assholes, they threaten everything. But, you know, I was like, I'm not going to stay quiet about this. So I didn't know that I had this in me. I didn't know.
Wow.
That to be, to just say, no, I'm going to keep talking. I'm surprised that I wasn't the one like that would just cower down in a corner. And that was something that I learned about myself.
Well, I think we all learn that. And I think the other way you learn it too is, well, me and my interaction with men, especially when they start screaming and hollering, which many of these legislators are male, and I will just say to them, you've obviously confused me with one of those women that's going to start crying and crawl off in the corner and go, I won't do it again, I'm sorry. I'm not her. You learn to get a spine. You learn to stand up and speak. You know, like I said, every time I go to speak, people say to me, now be nice, Marty. Be nice when you go in there, because if you don't, they're going to get mad and they're going to retaliate. Say what?
Yeah,
oh,
you know,
please.
Marty, if I could add something in there, you're actually the one who inspired me to do my own radio show.
Well, good. I'm glad I done something good.
Well,
thank you.
Really good. That came out of that, you know, and I thought,
well,
maybe if she can do it, I could do it, you know, because I won't speak up, you know, I've never been shy. Back then, maybe, but not anymore.
Yeah, that's the way
you
with
know?
Me. And they're killing us every day as it is. You might as well speak up and speak your piece. And because the worst they can do is kill you, but they can't do it but one time. So there you go. It's not like you have to do it over again. We've got about a minute left here, everybody. I want to thank everybody. Luann, thanks for calling in. Austin, thank you for being our guest. Kaz, as always, it's fun to be on with you. I want to remind everybody, these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit taking place this year, July 28th through the 31st in D.C. We'll be there. And like I say, stay tuned. I'll be in touch with all of you because we're trying to get these meetings set up. And if you can attend, I would appreciate it. And even if you can't, I can talk longer than anybody I know. So it's just, you know, that's just where we're at. I hope to see all of you out there in D.C. this summer. And with that, thanks, everybody. We'll say good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Night.